ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between. It is your boy, Arizona Verse, with me, my dude and co-host on the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, Soul Papo.
Always a pleasure.
Also joining us is my lovely wife, Skips.
Hello.
The first lady of IBHM. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
But first things first, I'm glad Skips is on this episode. Because I got to talk to you. I got to call your ass out. Because of course,
this is what we do.
To the mirror, nearly half of women in relationships have plan B man they can run away with. A study found many keep another man waiting patiently in the wings. Should they end up single, and married women are even more likely to. Who is this nigga?
Bang bang.
I need names. I need an address.
Of y'all.
What is his Twitter handle?
A Facebook.
I need
the, alias.
Is he on Facebook?
Why would I
you
tell
know
you?
He's on, and you know he's on Facebook.
Does the nigga tumble? Like, no. I need to know who this nigga is because I got to holler at him.
Fuck out here, dog. Suck. Don't try to jump. Don't try to jump. You got it.
I can't tell you.
Funk that.
That's the biggest, that's the realest thing. She really can't. That's going to compromise the, you know what I'm saying, the side nigga statutations.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I won't have them anymore if I tell you who it is.
Yo, so according to this study, half of all women have a plan B in the shape of a man whose arms they could run into if their relationship turns sour.
It's not even in the pill form anymore. Ain't that some shit?
I know, so I thought he was going with it. I was like, what?
A study carried out among 1,000 women found a substantial percentage have managed to keep another man waiting patiently in the wings should they end up single. And worryingly, married women are more likely have a plan B in the background than those who are merely in a relationship. It also emerged the plan B is likely to be an old friend who has always had feelings for the woman in question. But
because there's always that friend that they kind of have off the side that they never give a chance to.
You got what I need, but you say he just a friend, and you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you.
I think all these little surveys and stuff are all such a bullshit.
They true.
They so they true. Statistics don't lie.
About everything.
The cards never
Some
lie.
These studies are so stupid.
It's a science to it.
No. Maybe it is true for some people.
You're just mad because you got caught.
Yeah.
And apparently the research also found Plan B is also likely to be someone whom she has known for around 7 years. So I need to hop on your Facebook and go back 7 years. And any of them niggas that's been on your Facebook for over 7 years, delete.
I think I'm good.
Delete.
Whatever.
I know you listening, nigga. I'm coming to get you.
Yo, and you know, and I almost wanted to do a little bit of research, and I hate doing research, but because you wonder too, like, maybe we can kind of spitball some of these things, like, for the side bitches, side niggas out there, like, there's little rules and regulations that they must follow, obviously, kind of keep it on the low, not speaking too loud, keeping it down with the likes. Do these things get said? Is it a commonly known thing? Does one know to hush up? Because you figure any side person is going to know your relationship status. Ain't no need to ask what the status is because you've been in the zone for, you know, Lord knows how many years. Apparently it's 7. Does that mean no posting of pictures? No tagging? If you ever try to take a picture with a side chick, you know what I'm saying?
Turn your location off while you're posting that status.
Yeah, turn off the location. Right? You always look off to the side. I laugh at a lot of my homegirls. They be taking these pictures with these dudes, and they always blocking their face. I'm like, oh, you guys are side hoes. Side bitches, every one of y'all.
You ain't shit, bitch.
I think
some people lie, too, about, oh, no, I'm not with them anymore type thing, too. So I think that it comes down to, like, I don't know. So there's something about chemistry and people just can't let go sometimes, no matter what the situation is. Who was I talking about?
Because you never know.
Oh, there was somebody I know that. Okay, so he was with his baby mama for a long time, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, right? So they got pregnant right away, like me and Arizona Verse did. But
Verse?
No governments.
From the very beginning when she got pregnant, I was already like, okay.
Who's a hoe? Who's a hoe? I said that you's a hoe.
use a hoe. Use a hoe. Use a hoe. I said that use a hoe.
You doing hoe activities with hoe tendencies. Hoes are your friends. Hoes are your enemies.
Whatever. So they were together. Mm-hmm. Fine. No big deal. And then I guess he was like seeing somebody else on the side for the last like year or two that they were together. And then the baby mama fell apart. And so he went with this chick full time and they didn't last very long. I was like, that's the weirdest thing. That doesn't make any sense, because if she was the side chick for so long and then you made her your main chick, why didn't it work out? So I don't know what happened, but I just know that it didn't work out.
Because people and shit.
I said, oh, she's not sharing you anymore. Or not sharing you, I guess. But that's true.
It all comes down to women need an emotional connection in the bedroom and in relationships to begin with.
Yes.
And so if you have a woman who's in an emotionless situation, she's going to find that emotion elsewhere. And the same mm-hmm. thing with men, have the genetic need to drain our balls and get our ball juice all out there.
It's necessary.
And that's even the thing, like there's been studies, but they're done, so you know it's true.
No, here's mm-hmm. another fake study.
Scientist.
That's the reason why men are so sexual. Like there's also the physical side of, or there's the emotional side of it, but there's also the physical side of it, of you have your balls expanding, constantly growing sperm, and you need to release that shit. You can only keep so much sperm in you comfortably. So that's the other reason why men, you should jerk off every day. That's the way you stay on the straight and narrow. You stay focused. You know, if you have a big decision, jerk off, think about it again, and then make your decision. And so I think it comes down to that. So plan B, fuck your friends. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Fuck your friends.
One thing too, and kind of how I mentioned a bit earlier, I realized I was on a side nigga status of sources. I was getting a little something, tried taking pictures, you know what I'm saying? I fucked up, had the flash on. Damn near gave her, a seizure. And I was like, and I felt so offended when she blocked me. No, bitch, show it all. Face included. I want blackmail material. Don't you dare. But yeah.
Yeah, I want to be able to Jennifer Lawrence a bitch one day. That's all I'm saying.
One day.
Chill! It's your boy, Arizona Verse, and with me, my dude and co-host.
Hello, Soul Papa. I'm black.
And he's Mexican, but you should already know that. And if you don't, Google a nigga.
Please.
Now, this is a podcast about nothing in particular, just current events, minus the bullshit.
A whole bunch of bullshit.
Check us out at IBHMPodcast.com for videos, photo galleries, polls, much, much, much more fuckery. And speaking of fuckery, you can follow me, Arizona Verse, on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr. You can find that at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to follow my dude, Soul Papo, on his main source of social media fuckery,
which is Tumblr. So soulpapo@tumblr.com. Really, SoulPapo. Anything, bitch.
Yes.
I'm on the vines.
We have a special guest in the motherfucking building.
Mm-hmm.
On episode 36. And we stumbled across this, and we didn't even do this on purpose, but Skips came on episode 12, the two vagina special, please. Then the next time she came on was on
two vagina.
It was episode 24, What Happens in Vegas. And then we noticed a trend. Hey, I seem to bring her on the episode every 12. So then, hey, episode 36, why not bring her back on? So, yes, we are also joined by my lovely wife, Skips, who also has a plan B, nigga, we just found out in the intro.
And she straight up said,
lies.
I ain't telling you.
No, you guys are so full of shit right now.
I ain't telling you. She immediately went to the phone. Let me delete that nigga text real quick. Hold up.
A magician never shows the next trick that's up its sleeve. So, you know,
voila.
When you got to pull up Houdini.
You guys are a hot mess. Both of you.
No, not at all.
Both of you.
That's what we do around here at the IBHM podcast.
Yeah.
I do run on hot, though. I will say that. I'm a sweaty, sweaty spick.
Yes, sir. And I think it's about that time, Papo. It's time for the lightning round.
Doom, doom, doom. Ooh, I just came. Ow! Real fast. It's enough to get you, though.
And, yo, I saw this shit. I don't know what the fuck is going on in the UK, but apparently this 350-pound woman is on welfare, and she says she is obese because the government doesn't give her enough money.
Yep. That makes perfect sense.
What did you say?
Well, honestly, when all you give a bitch is a bunch of food stamps, I mean, and or a bunch of EBT card, and I can only buy junk food with it. Well, then of course.
That bitch.
It makes sense to me. I don't know, but how is she complaining? Why is she complaining? Because she's big.
So apparently, this 350-pound British woman claims it's not her fault she's morbidly obese. It's because the government doesn't give her enough money. Christina Briggs, 26, of Wigan, England, claims she can only eat fattening junk food, a whole lot of it, because healthier food is just too expensive for her limited welfare benefits. Now, they asked her, how about exercising and lose weight? And she said that was out of the question because gyms are just too pricey and she hasn't been educated on how to exercise herself. She said that she tried swimming, but at a cost of $36 a month. And then
float.
She had to cut back on her favorite pizza and Chinese takeaways.
Okay. Now.
I'm at a loss of words.
As Arizona person, I know. Groceries are probably the most expensive thing that we have in this household.
Smoke! Oh. Are you tripping?
Craig!
Hold up. I gave him a heartbeat.
Man, that's what it's supposed to do!
No, my shit beat too fast.
Aw, man, it's the clinic. Don't even worry about it.
Listen! You don't hear?
Hell no. Man, I knew I shouldn't have gave him no credit.
But with that being said, there's ways to get around having to spend money on the fattening stuff. Like she said, she buys Pop Tarts, chocolate fingers, chips, salsa, marshmallow fluff. Like, you don't even really need that. I don't even know what that is, but you definitely don't need that. So it's prioritizing your whole budget. She should be able to do, but if you look at the picture, her whole thing is like stuffed full of crap. She's got chips, crackers, Pop Tarts, a whole bunch of craps in there. And walking doesn't cost money. Like, I think she's just coming up with excuses, obviously, that she can't lose weight.
Now, the funny thing too about it is that she receives $36,000 a year from the government. She lives in public housing with her two children by two different fathers. Including housing, healthcare, and miscellaneous reimbursements, Briggs received more than $62,000 a year in total from the fucking government. I say, you fat sloth bitch, this is a hood rat. This is a prime example. This is a white chick with orange hair from the UK, and this shows you hood rats come in all shapes, sizes, races, and continents and shit. Fuck this bitch.
Honestly, when I see someone, and mind you, and I'm a heavy motherfucker, and I used to be heavy, but every single time I get real upset, not only because they can buy all the chicks and treats that they want, but also these obese motherfuckers, they can get the best parking. Ain't no need to have to walk too far because they get VIP parking up right in front. Mm-hmm. I don't gotta take too long to get my groceries to start, you know what I'm saying, swallowing them whole without chewing. But I don't know. I ain't got shit to say about that. I really don't. She gonna die pretty soon as a clogged artery and a heart attack.
Just, well, that's the other thing. She's gonna rack up healthcare bills.
That's what
free to her too. So,
see, but isn't that's one of the things though? Healthcare is already free out there. It's only our dumb ass.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It, so.
Well, still, everything is free to her. She has free money to go buy groceries, free healthcare, mm-hmm. free. But then says that she still needs more money. For what? I don't really get it, but okay.
Well, bitch has to go out.
She has to go out.
How's she going to find a brother that wants
third baby
a BBW
daddy?
If she's stuck at home?
I just did my hair orange. I'm trying to find my third baby daddy.
I get it.
Trying to increase that government check.
God, that's a hot mess.
Yes, and Papa, you had something that you had brought up earlier.
What are you talking about?
But that shit didn't work.
Okay, no, it sure didn't. I should have been more concise. But honestly, it kind of skipped a step because it's kind of actually backpedaling back because it is all honestly about distraction and as far as you know what we get consumed in. I mean, that's to each their own. I didn't want to fucking bother bringing it up because it was just more of this talking about how the kind of the pressures that we kind of that we, you know, build a society. And the link that I had sent you was more about the pressures of marriage, and it's kind of why I wanted to go back. Yeah, I wanted to segue from from the side chick thing to is it a thing of matter of pressure to where you kind of have to uphold this thing, you kind of drain yourself so much in it, and then it kind of leaves nothing for you, so that when something else is appealing, it's gonna grab you. And
what I think with marriage is, I think the thing that a lot of people don't realize, marriage is an organism in itself that grows and evolves, and you as a person need to grow, evolve, and adapt with it. And I think that's the reason why a lot of marriages don't work in the long term, because these people get together and they're like, oh yeah, I like this person, and then they get married, and then it's like, oh well, I'm gonna fall back, because a lot of people, they get married and they fall back. Don't try as hard, because you're not trying to court someone new. You already have that person.
The hunger is gone.
Step back a little. And then if both parties step back too much and they're not willing to adapt and grow over time, then the shit falls apart. So,
And the only way.
That's why I adapted to be content with this plan B, nigga. Since there's nothing else to be able to do about it. So I just do adapt.
Oh my god! I wish I had known you were bringing that up.
My, that's exactly why we didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, this is not about me. since we did bring it back, Skips, I'm bringing it back to you. Now you enjoy the R&B music, right?
Yes.
And I know you love The Weeknd, and people, you know, wish, you know, for him to sing into their vaginas. But when it comes to, let's say, Miguel, I know you would. And now when it comes to Miguel,
that's her free pass. My free pass is Ronda Rousey.
God, and he was right here.
Too.
We were supposed to go to a show.
See,
it was on
Thursday
and Friday or something like that. We were supposed to go. We didn't make it.
You could have put it in his face. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to.
That's
probably why we didn't make it.
Shit. Hey, Verse ain't dumb. He ain't dumb as he looks. He knows. He knows he got to keep it within a certain amount of radius, because shit will go down. But back into the, and I lost my train of thought. Fuck you, marijuana.
Some of y'all just need to smoke some weed and see if it don't help the quality of your motherfucking life. I know, I see some of y'all. Look, I understand. If you ain't smoking weed because you got a good job, then by all means, make your paper, boo-boo. But if you ain't got no job and you not smoking weed, I don't know what the fuck you are doing with your life. I really don't. I really don't. Don't give me that shit about it's a drug. It ain't no motherfucking drug. I done the research. It's just a plant. It just grow like that. And if you should happen to set it on fire, there are some effects. But that's not the same as drugs. Drugs, you got to do shit to it chemically. You got to add baking soda, water, stir it up. I don't know the recipe. I'm just saying.
R&B music, something.
Oh, R&B music. Yeah, thank you for bringing it back. That's what I need to. Ladies, if ever I just get drifted off into space, it's because I'm so far in love. I'm floating. I need you to bring me down and just remind me of reality. Give me a kiss. Play with it a little bit. But, all right, back to Miguel. Because you listen to Miguel, right? The R&B singer Miguel.
Oh, yeah, you fuck with Miguel.
The R&B artist Miguel. He used to look like a little Asian kid. And then he got some black. Yeah, he dropkicked a few hoes at concerts. They love him even more for it. He has the opposite of the Chris Brown effect, because, you know, he does it on stage and in public. So because it's not too big of a secret, we're okay with it.
The power.
Yeah,
the
power of transparency,
right?
And synchronicity. But in this one song from his last album, he has a song, and maybe you could tell me what it's called. I don't know if it's called That Pussy Is Mine.
Oh, I don't know him that well.
No way. No. Oh man, I was hoping you would have known the song.
Dealing with a song that he's on his last album. You said.
Yeah. And maybe y'all can look it up, listeners, while you're there. Chime in, correct me. But yeah, this is pretty. It's pretty much a song about him saying about, you know, how when you're with somebody and you're beating it up, my favorite thing, especially, you know, I want to know that pussy is mine.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, obviously it's a rhetorical question, and I will laugh if a motherfucker ever says no, it ain't. You know, but enjoy while you got it. Like, that'd be some shit. But,
that would be hilarious.
But it's the sort of thing, you know, you ask that usually, right? Or baby, whose is this? Or, you know what I'm saying? This is your thing. That whatever. However it is that you guys kind of go about the rant. But in this song, he's saying this, and he's saying, even though you have a man, this pussy is mine. And a quick little tidbit, I won't reveal any names, but a lady friend of mine who is married, you know, her husband was, you know, doing his dirt. And so she kind of plays a psychology fuck with him. And that's how she really gets him. She's a good girl, though. You know what I'm saying? She done tamed herself, you know, in front of the great El Papo. But one thing about her that she had told me that one of his insecurities is because she loves that song so much. And him, you know what I'm saying? They you know, it's a brother, some niggas. So he knows the song. And so he gets mad jealous. And every time she bumps her, she sings her. She's too, you know, she's humming to it because, hey, that's talking about having a goddamn side nigga, like, motherfucker, right? Like, who, what do you mean? Whose pussy is this? So it creates this energy of just insecurity, which I feel, does that tame relationships? Does that keep motherfuckers in check? Does that keep us in line? Does that keep us from jumping off the deep end and becoming this 340-pound bitch that just wants more?
Well, I think there's always that. What is, I just saw something about that too, about, so you think you can get some new pussy? Well, this pussy's new to some other dude too, so. I'm just saying. That's just what I saw. Which makes sense. I mean, it does to a point though, because it's like, okay, so you think you can go fuck around? Well, guess what?
Bang,
I can do the same thing.
Bang,
so.
Bang. I was trying to get my bang out. And I,
yo, that's one of the things I will say that is so ignorant of the world is all this trying to repress the woman's sexuality. Mm-hmm. Women are asexual as men. And this whole thing, like, and that goes back to that book Sets It Down by Christopher Ryan. And I had heard this before, but it kind of fell out of my memory. But that the first household appliance ever created was essentially a vibrator. And it was to cure women of hysteria, women acting crazy and all that. And they built this thing for them to put in their vagina that vibrates to calm them down. But what it was were the women.
Take a chill pill, bitch.
The bitch was horny because she ain't getting no dick, because it's also, you're not supposed to be having sex with your wife unless you're trying to procreate. So bitches was fucking horny and shit. And so that's what it came down to. So I don't know. I just think society has it all.
For those
up.
That don't know, you're hearing historical news. Be educated.
Pussy is Mine. Yeah, that's what it's called. Sorry, it took me that long to look it up. That is the name of the song. I never heard of that before. I'll have to listen to it.
You see how slow women is? That's why men get paid more. And, and you know what's really fucked up? Actually, now that I'm sorry to bring this up, but recently in Arizona, in Phoenix, there's a conference, and the head motherfucking chink from goddamn Sony was giving word at, you know, at this woman's conference, and they asked him, you know, about the differences or what a woman should do, you know, or, you know, if they're too afraid to ask for a raise because, you know, is it a fact that men supposedly get paid like a few cents more?
Oh, it's a lot more.
I don't even see how that's fucking possible. I don't see the dividends because bitches be living way better than I. But, you know, whatever. So this guy fucking tells him, he's like, and he hit three big old bullet points that are just the biggest fuck yous. He says that women should have faith. That the world's gonna align because karma, this is the second bullet point, is gonna have its way, and you're gonna get, this is the third bullet point, your superpowers of humbleness. That, and mind you, I'm hella paraphrasing, but he did mention faith, he mentioned fucking karma, and he mentioned superpowers of women just pretty much coming back on top. He then retracted a few days later on a Twitter apology saying, you know, I meant that everybody should be paid equally and everything. So he hit the whole equal bullshit. But when he mentioned specifically at a woman's conference that they should have faith because karma is a bitch, pretty much. And
like, oh, you bitches, calm down. Eventually,
yeah, I was gonna say, basically, like, shut the fuck up and just
cooking doesn't cook rice.
Know your role.
And shouts out to my boo thang, Sarah Silverman, who had just dropped a powerful message about the wage gap. I shared this last week on Facebook. That's my boo thang.
That's the alien guy that's snooping.
Wanted everyone to know that the wage gap is not okay, and she's not afraid to get all Sarah Silverman to do it. She teamed up with the National Women's Law Center, a nonprofit fighting for equal pay through advocacy and legislation, to kick off its new campaign, the Equal Payback Project. Sarah takes some decidedly not safe for work measures to make sure she earns as much money as her male counterparts. And it broke down the stats. It says because the average woman only made 78 cents to the man's dollar in 1 year, so basically
Australia, woman will lose $10,874 a year to the wage gap. Multiply that by a 40-year career, and one woman loses close to $500,000 due to the wage gap. And it says, furthermore, with nearly 69 million women in the workplace, the female workplace loses nearly $30 trillion to the wage gap. So that is, and it's one of those things. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's the same thing goes back to minorities. Like, Anglo-Saxon males are the measuring stick. So no one's going to make, or let me say this, heterosexual Anglo-Saxon men are the measuring stick in the world. And so they're going to make the most amount of money, and everybody else is only going to make a chunk of that. You got to work extra hard to make as much as they're making for that. And it's just because the system of white supremacy has been around for hundreds of years. And I always say that doesn't make all white people bad. Of course, I'm married to a white woman. But it means that there is a institution in place of white supremacy, and it was put together by a white man. It was so white men could get by and rule the world, if you will, for a while. And no one recognizes that. No one researches their history, but whatever, I'm off my soapbox. But yeah, when you look at it from a small scale, it's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. But when you look at it over a long amount of time, yeah, there's a big gap. The same thing could say be said about economics. What's wrong with black people and so on and so forth? Why are they so behind? Well, you have to look at the wage.
They're too busy dancing.
You got to look at the wage gap with that, where you had free labor for hundreds of years, where the Caucasian base in America was able to stack all this money for hundreds of years while black people worked
blue
for free.
Bread money, y'all.
And then that's where the reparations come in with the 40 acres and a mule and all that. It's like, well, you guys made all this amount of money off of us, and then you guys let us free and was like, okay, figure it out. Well, can we get some of that money we just made, y'all? And it's like, oh yeah, we'll get you some of that money eventually. And then it never happened. And then when black people,
they let y'all have hip hop and basketball.
Sir, now that you've got your check, do you plan on quitting your job driving this truck?
Truck driver? I ain't no truck driver. I'm a janitor.
Janitor?
That's right, baby. I just bought this truck straight cash. And I got enough cigarettes to last me and my family for the rest of our lives. I'm rich, bitch!
Hello, we gave y'all niggas hip hop and basketball, even though we were control that too. But you niggas, shut up. Shut it up, niggas. Shut it.
Get back in your cage. What is it? Mandingo? Get back in your cage.
I heard a crazy
kibbles and bits.
I heard a crazy story too about the story of King Kong. That was back in the early 1900s. And the whole story
about, they're talking about niggas unchained.
This big fucking gorilla that's big, so huge or whatever, that they bring over from Africa, and then it's causing all this chaos, and then it's going after this blonde woman up in the Empire State Building in New York. And I heard the story actually is that they wrote that about, I want to say his name was Jack Johnson, and he was a famous boxer back then, and he was just beating all these white boys' ass, and like they fucking hated him because the nigga was speed and all that through white communities, and he'd get pulled over and he'd throw $5,000 at the cop, like, here go your speeding ticket money. And he was like, he was the inventor of swag, and the fact that he was knocking all these white boys out just made it even, you know, better.
One, two, the one to go.
And so they wrote this story, this King Kong story, and that was supposedly him coming over trying to take over New York and steal all the white women, and in the end they put the nigga down. And so, hey, I'm just saying, think about it. You never know.
swinging, you know what I'm saying? Now, accusations.
Something else that's accusations, and I don't know exactly what's going on. Have you guys been keeping up with this Kim Jong-un shit?
Yeah, he has health issues.
That's the story.
And you know, the last time that he was seen, well, at least last time I remember him going anywhere, and not that I keep up on the motherfucker, even though I love you, communism, he was in South Korea. South Korea is our side, right?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, he went there. So I'm not too sure if he went to see medical examiners, but you know, we can't find him. I wonder if some face-off shit with John Travolta featuring.
I know, that nigga sneaking out the back, yo. Like, oh, peace out, nigga.
Yeah.
Yo, but yeah, apparently he's not been seen in public since September 3rd when he attended a concert given by the Moranbong Band, an all-group girl group whose members he personally selected.
Ooh, that they seduced him.
like how fucked up like that world is that the all band girl group was picked by the leader.
Yeah,
that's like power. If Obama was like, "Yo, I like that this podcast. You niggas work for me now."
Yeah,
it's like, wait, what?
Yeah,
and you guys are gonna start talking about this and that and American propaganda. Wait,
I'm ready
what?
To sell my soul for some white bitches and money.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
And some psychedelics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. You must, yeah. For any of those out there, if you want to own me, give me all my favorite paraphernalia, video games, snacks, and indulgence and unspeakables. And you have
still
me.
Ain't tried shrooms.
Good enough. I haven't either. But I don't know if it's that or acid. They say that you see your demons in. And on the real, I'm pretty fucked as it is seeing my apparent guardian angels. I don't know if I'm ready to see my demons, yeah.
No, you know what it is, what it comes down to, and that's the reason why I'm starting to believe that marijuana is a psychedelic. It's a very mild psychedelic.
Very mild.
Psychedelics, you get what you put into it. And so if you go into it with a fucked up mood or a fucked up mind state, you're going to get a fucked up reaction. If you go into it positively, you're going to get a positive reaction back. And it goes from marijuana being the smallest of the psychedelics to the major number one psychedelic, ayahuasca. And so, and it is, because I know I've had certain times where I've gotten too high, I've gone over that mountain, and oh, you start questioning reality. And it's like, oh, well, you're just amping up their anxiety. That's something that's in you. And that's the reason why psychedelics are so important to the human race, because it makes you reflect. You're never going to be as insightful in looking into yourself as much as you are when you're on a psychedelic. That's the only way to see what's really fucking going on, because your subconscious and your conscious doesn't always merge and communicate like that. So psychedelics is how you get into that subconscious realm. So
when it comes to, I think, especially, I mean, psychedelics obviously it shows you the door, but especially when it comes to relationships, and whether it be with someone in love or, you know, that with your God, you know, what you put in is what you're going to get out of it. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to learn something and you barely put your feet in the water, the closer you're going to get to that is having your foot wet. You know what I mean? And that ain't nothing. So, yeah, what you put in, you get.
But going back to Kim Jong, I guess it's the same thing. It's what you put into it. Is they're saying that he is suffering from gout. And gout has always been...
Fat man problem.
Yeah, and this is the funniest thing. Because gout is... It's anyone who is not a pot-bellied, port-swelling, 18th century English squire should suffer from gout. The condition, a form of arthritis caused by buildup of uric acid in the body, is associated with weight gain and the consumption of rich foods. Goose and a partridge are often mentioned, along with sardines, anchovies, and salmon. Excessive alcohol intake is also blamed, and according to diplomatic sources who don't seem very diplomatic, Kim likes to drink and party all night like his father, who also had gout. And so it's funny because, yeah, it's just a rich nigga disease. It's like, oh, nigga, you living too good, so I got to take it down. The universe works in that way. Yeah, like, nigga, you getting too God much right now. Let me bring you back down a little.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yes, sir. And so...
What should we go next with this? Where can we go? What are we doing here? Skips, we've been ignoring you. You just lay down.
Oh, that's fine.
No, no, no. You're a big deal.
Oh, shit. You hear my ringtone? Skips. Shit is real, yo.
Skips.
Can you hear it?
Lady, can you hear me? No, I don't care about
that.
No, yeah,
but Arizona Verse trying to...
Okay, well, let
his ringtone is the beginning of the show.
Ah.
You can't hear it, though. It's not very loud.
For those that are watching the YouTube thing, once again, please head over to Podomatic.com. I'm not sure if it's Podomatic.ibhm.
All you got to do is go to unblackheesmexican.com.
I'm just trying. If they want to skip a step, that's true. That's very true.
It takes you right to the Podomatic page. Well, no, because ibhmpodcast.com goes to the website, and unblackheesmexican.com takes you right to the Podomatic page where you can download the show. Bang,
What I'm trying to say is, for those that are watching this, listen to the nicely shined up version, and you know, you can get everything that you need to get. You can hear the beginning intro, which is a dope ass intro, and Matt props to Verse for, you know what I'm saying, putting things together like he does. Now, what I was trying to say before he was trying to show off all that, Skips,
yes,
you are important. Do you not know how I value the white woman?
Hey, where are the white women at?
I do know this.
You do know. childish, right? So understand, me and Verse, we hold that same regard. If we were statues, we would be holding the same thing that held this pedestal that just holds all the beautiful white women that have entered and pierced our hearts and souls. And when you, my dear, are with us, you have our intention, and you need to stop on us because we be talking. Like how I be talking, I'm ranting. So let that be known.
I know, but I don't have anything to add to the Kim Jong-un whatever.
And you say fuck him, his chink self. You know what I mean?
It's actually funny because that's supposed to be the lightning round, but we go on as long as
we can. Can we hit some main stories now?
Bang. You
know, motherfucker only got an hour to fuck with. Come on, yeah.
Bang. And main story. Seventh Heaven dad, Stephen Collins, alleged child molestation. Same, Stephen.
Stephen Collins.
Oh, Stephen Collins, however you white people spell that shit. Stephen Collins. There's no Z in there. I hate the PH bullshit.
I know.
That is Stephen.
That's how you... No.
Stephen.
Stephen.
Anyways, there's alleged child molestation victim who only came forward after she read his erotic novels. So supposedly he wrote two novels.
Erotic novels.
I guess kind of confessing or had to do with child molestation.
Yeah, it says that therapy...
I'm going to go.
Oh, go ahead.
Mine.
My bad.
Okay, so his therapy confession of child molestation was shocking to hear. But how did his then-wife know how to ask him, or his then-wife, Faye Grant, know how to ask him about it in the first place? It turns out the Seventh Heaven star may have only himself to blame. This says in the 90s, he wrote a pair of erotic 50 Shades style novels. One's called Eye Contact. And the other one, unfortunately, named Double Exposure. And then it says, let's see, they must have hit too close to home because that's when she decided to write to Grant an anonymous letter telling her what Collins had done to her. And I guess the victim was like 12 years old or something like that. And I want to say there was three victims and they were all around the age of like 12 and 11.
And have y'all heard the audio?
No, I have not.
There was like an hour's worth of shit. And
listen now.
When you exposed yourself to my 10-year-old sister, did you have an erection?
No. I mean, no. Partial?
Partial erection?
Maybe, yes.
How did you talk to her? What kind of things did you say?
What is it that you're looking for?
How did you talk to her? What kinds of things did you say?
The exposure happened a couple of times.
A couple of times? You told me once.
No, I said on the list it happened several times. I said on the disclosure.
Several times? Oh, yes. You have to understand I was being shot in the face with a shotgun. Several times.
It happened.
With a 10-year-old. Okay.
Well, you know, she was 11 and then like 12 and 13. There was never any conversation around it. There was one instance.
But how did you like... There was one instance what?
Well, this isn't a disclosure, and I told you before, there was one instance wherefore there was one moment of touching where... I put her hand on my penis.
You put her hand on...
Yes. That was in the disclosure. That was also... I also told you that when... Before that, when we were in the hotel.
You gotta understand that, Hard as I can.
I got it.
Okay.
It lasted a few seconds, and that was the last time anything ever...
What were the other girls' names? I want their first and last name.
I don't know his last name.
And who was...
Was the niece of the woman who lived across the way. She is someone I actually saw about 12 or 15 years ago and made an amends to.
Did you date her?
No.
That's outside the realm?
Oh.
Here? Did you date her after you disclosed? Just wondering, Stephen. I need to know.
No.
Okay. How many times was...
Once.
And you said that there was another girl. How many girls altogether?
No.
Said that there was...
Help me out here. There was sister.
There was sister who was 10, because she wrote me when... Because was 10. 10, 11, 12, around several years.
There were... I think there were, yes, there were like three incidents over about 3 years.
Okay. So, and then there was the girl across the way at,
that's
and then there's, so it's just three? You're sure?
What you guys don't know, we just went through like a time warp and like it just played all that audio. It was so cool. You guys missed
it. How long is that clip though?
It's like 3 to 4 minutes.
Okay, cool. Well, you playing all of it?
Yeah, I already played it.
No, I get that, motherfucker, but you gonna put a whole 4 minutes worth of shit of him talking?
Oh, no. Well, yeah, so, yeah, that played. And, yeah, it's just, it's crazy because, yeah, he sounds like a fucking pervert. But, yeah, he tells the story about how he was showing his dick to these little girls. And one of them he had touch it. And the thing that's fucked up, like, this article that we brought up is on the Perez Hilton website.
Which, by the way, Perez Hilton has a lot of information.
Yeah. And no, what's funny is, do you see this background ad?
Yeah.
This ad right now is for Jane the Virgin, some series premiere that starts on the CW now. That's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
That this story on Perez Hilton is about
it's going off of words. This is what happens when Google goes off of word searches and adds your ads for you.
Oh, you want to see about some child getting touched? Oh, look at this show that's starting on the CW next week.
Yo, one thing that, and I kind of want to just bring it back, and I don't know how long we're going to talk about this motherfucker. Two things that piss me off. Okay, well, let me just say two quick things, if that's cool. All right, two quick things. First of all, when I read the story a couple days ago on some of the articles, because of course a shitload of things come out once they had pushed out, they had to label it Christian preacher dad. Then they put TV star, so-and-so, whatever the fuck his name
right,
is.
Like,
and then they introduce the story. I'm thinking, oh, man, that just makes us look so bad. He played a fucking fictional character. So he wasn't a fucking actual preacher. Even though, of course, priests have that problem. But goddamn. Any comments on that, or can I move to my next bullet point?
No, that is funny, because I do like how, and that's the reason why I say that the mainstream is programmed a certain way. Because they like to do that, like to remind you that he was a preacher. He wasn't a real preacher.
No.
He was acting as a preacher,
yeah.
But they want to make sure that you guys remember that preachers are supposed to be associated with child molestation. And look at this quirky time. It happened with a fictional character and a real person. And so I just... The media isn't shit.
People,
and it's funny, too, because people aren't shit, because we were on
Hulu.
Yeah,
and we're
going to
tie
night.
It together. We're going to take it as truth.
No Netflix. Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, we were on Netflix last night, and Seventh Heaven is one of the popular shows right now. I've never seen Seventh Heaven
never.
Be popular.
But you know
because
what?
The motherfuckers is going back watching that like, ooh, I'm looking for hints. When he looked like, ooh, did you see how he looked at his toe star right there?
Look at the way he touched Jessica. Jessica, wasn't it?
But, you know, that also means for the other cast members that their residual checks are going to dry up, too, with the reruns being pulled off the air.
Yep.
So it didn't only affect him, it affects everybody else that had to do with Seventh Heaven. Cast.
Fuck him, and then the second part, and this is fuck his wife, the fact that she knew about this. Honestly,
yeah.
It's something she's been sitting on.
Yeah.
And whether you call that, you know, guilt just bubbling over and volcanoing out, or someone's going on to the next venture and they need that political image of, you know, I was a victim, or look what's been going on, or look what I had to deal with. Or, once again, this is going to boost ratings. They're going to pull it off TV, maybe, but it's going to still be clicked and watched on all these other things that are going to get them money. Clicks get you money, y'all. For the internet whore fandom that we're in, clicks get you money. And,
well, yeah, I think it's right now that they're going through a divorce. But supposedly it was one of the victims that came out. Let's see. Between the age of 11 and 13. But she kept quiet about it for years. But they're going through a divorce right now. So I don't know who actually came out with the story. Was it his wife or the
It was the
chick?
Wife leaked the story. She
leaked
did
it.
The moderator thing. And, yeah, and so then she leaked the article
though people were, or it leaked the audio so people were aware of what was going on, and then the internet shit goes viral and then everything got out. And the thing that's crazy is, like, there's studies, and I think the more we learn about the human brain, the better we'll be at this. But, like, child molestation and, like, fucking murders and all that, like, that's a part of your brain. Something's off. And they're starting to notice, like, with serial killers, it's some part of the frontal lobe is underdeveloped because they can't feel empathy and different things like that. And so there's different things that we're starting to notice within the brain that, oh, that's a telltale sign that you're going to do this down the line. And it gets into that pre-crime shit, and it gets into eugenics. And it's like, if we learn that, hey, if your brain is like this, chances are you're going to be a fucking pedophile. Should you be able to kill those babies immediately, if you will?
Right.
Because it's going to be when they're a child. So, like, this is when it gets funky, that pre-crime
shit. Yeah, but you know,
shit.
If you bring that up, you're going to have a whole slew of people.
But
like,
it's like, yo, look at his brain. This motherfucker's going to kill and touch somebody.
No, they're going to say, you can't do that until it starts to happen. And it's like, oh my God, what's wrong with the parents?
And that's the problem, like with law, like, or with just the reality. You can't try somebody or put them in jail for something that they haven't did. But it's unfortunate because then you need somebody to get hurt before you can do something about something. And so it's that fucked up road. But what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? What can you do, honestly? With everything that we have online, it's all at the fingertips of somebody else. Recently, and you know how Facebook is pretty much just, it's in bed with the government, you know what I'm saying? Google, too, they have their ties. Now, I was very surprised that Twitter, who is not owned by either of these fuckers, put a stand and they try to actually sue the U.S. government over, access to some of the information. Like, they're trying to say if someone's finally saying, they're claiming it's in the First Amendment rights that are being, you know, violated, and they're actually suing them back for all the info that they get. Twitter has been one of those sort of things to where it gets, what's the word for it? And you kind of brought it up before about transparency. It's been based on that. And for the most part, I mean, what you see is what you get on Twitter, whether someone's connecting their real name with, let's say, a Facebook, which usually a lot of things do. If you notice, most places, even job places, they have you connect your Facebook so they can load up your information so they can validate you. Yeah. These little side apps like Meet Me or whatever the fuck like that, to where to verify that you are who you say you are, send it to a Facebook, be about it. And then with that, it has its own rules. You have to have so many friends just so they can validate that it's real. But they're actually trying to put a stop to it. And I'm wondering if that means going through your DMs. Or, because everything you put on Twitter, you don't have, like, your favorites, your likes, these shits can be seen. So if you favorite something, actually went to my favorites, like, what the fuck, how the hell did I favorite that? it reveals a lot about yourself, especially if it's someone's personal post. And, you know, it shows your thirstiness, it shows it all.
I do appreciate companies like this, like Twitter, when they do this kind of shit where they go after the government. Because, like, this is, Twitter coming out like, yo, the government is doing some fucked up shit right now, and we can't necessarily go back against them. So what we can do is make it known to the public so people can see it. And then when the people get outraged, we're supposed to be able to use our voice then to tell the government, hey, stop doing that.
But you can't, because it doesn't matter. They're still going to do whatever they want to do.
To a certain extent, if we can all rise, honestly, this is where it takes everyone's joints, is how, you know, we have to vote and whatever the hell like that. But even beyond that, we need to actually stand up. But no one's going to do that. No, that's the problem.
You know, right.
I want to find out what's going on with my pop culture, with our favorite turned up, real fucked up in the head with Itaz, which I believe that you had some post. I didn't even know she had another breakdown. This bitch does it so fucking often. I don't know what be happening. So can you... My dude, peoples, and line, what's been going on with one of our favorite train wrecks?
Amanda Bynes.
Yeah. Oh no! Wait! Stop! Oh. Before we get there, bring it up how forgetful people are and shit and all that going on in the world. You guys remember Operation Fast and Furious, right? Last year,
the guns.
Yeah, it was alleged that the Operation Fast and Furious was an agreement with the U.S. to finance and arm Sinaloa in return for information on rivals. The gun walking scandal of Operation Fast and Furious involved the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives deliberately allowing licensed firearm dealers to sell weapons to illegal buyers. The ATF allegedly planned to track the guns to Mexican drug cartels for later arrests, so on and so forth. All right. I bring that up to bring up this. Chicago. a lot going on in Chicago right now.
The Bears.
Unfortunately, niggas is shooting niggas up left and right. And I say nigga, and I use the word nigga because I mean
Chirac.
The word nigga.
Chirac.
Now, we got a lot of things, a lot of racism going on in the world right now. Who's more racist, black people or white people? Black people. You know why? Because we hate black people, too. Everything white people don't like about black people really don't like about black people. There's some shit going on with black people right now. It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people, and there's niggas. And niggas have got to go. Every time black people want to have a good time, ignorant-ass niggas fuck it up. Some ignorant ass niggas fucking it up. Can't do nothing. Can't keep a disco open more than 3 weeks. Grand opening, grand closing. Can't go to a movie the first week it come out. Why? Because niggas are shooting at the screen. What kind of ignorant shit is that? Hey, that's a good movie. That's so good, I got to bust a cap in here. Hey, I love black people, but I hate niggas, bro.
These ain't black folks that are doing this shit.
These are niggas.
Oh, wait, what the skip?
The last 30 days.
Oh, wait, you gotta zoom in.
How do I get it?
Oh, let me see it.
Okay, show the last 30 days. That's the last 30 days of how many people have been shot. Then scroll.
Recent victim.
Okay, scroll.
At all these shootings. This is for our live audience or whatever. Yeah, this is
the last
disturbing.
30 days.
I'm just scrolling through these pictures or scrolling through these dates, and these is just dates and how many people are getting shot.
Males, how old they are.
May, all these kids, is a lot of 13 and 15 year olds. God damn, how long is this
fucking
list?
No, it's a lot.
List?
Right there.
Okay, god damn, yo. So, now, I bring that up, and like I said, I use the word nigga deliberately, because these ain't black folks, these aren't upper-class black people killing each other, and that's why I get so upset when a black person gets shot by someone who's not black, and they were like, why you get mad about that? You don't get mad about Chicago. Well, no, we're mad about Chicago, but we also realize that Chicago isn't black people shooting each other, it's a bunch of niggas shooting each other. And the thing that we as Americans forget about, because we're so into pop culture and what's the new thing going on right now, I think a lot of people forgot that between 2000 and 2012, the U.S. government had a deal with Mexican drug cartel Sinaloa that allowed the group to smuggle billions of dollars of drugs in return for information on its rival cartels. Now, the U.S. Department of Justice official in the U.S. District Court of Chicago, following the 2009 arrest of some Jesus dude who was the son of a Sinaloa leader named El Mayo, so he must have had that.
Mayo! Mayo!
But, so yeah, so the thing with this is like the government knew that they were smuggling cocaine and shit in through Chicago. And that's one of the things that people don't realize is that, okay, those gangs, we have the war on drugs, and the war on drugs is making the demand for drugs go up. People want drugs, and you make them illegal, hard to get, so on and so forth. But the drugs are still out there, and they're being smuggled from Mexico directly through Chicago. Then you have a gang war going on in Chicago. Niggas is fighting for money right now in Chicago because there's no kingpin in Chicago, because the dude who was the kingpin went down like 2 years ago around the same time the U.S. government starts letting all these fucking drugs come in through. This is the whole what is his name? The real Rick Ross. And when he was down there in with the shit with Oliver North and Ronald Reagan, when it came out that the U.S. government was selling crack cocaine in the ghettos
crack
and
epidemic.
All that. This is that again. That's what's going on in Chicago. The government fucked Chicago up. It ain't that something's wrong with niggas and we just so goddamn violent. No, the government keeps fucking up our community and putting drugs in there. When you put drugs in a community where there is no jobs, niggas get to fighting over money.
Because the economy starts a boosting and it's mine. It's mine.
Bye, nigga.
Yeah, bang, bang.
So if next time someone asks you what's wrong with Chicago, that's what's wrong with Chicago. The fucking U.S. government is what's wrong with Chicago.
Now, while you're researching that, also another terrible thing in Chicago is our new Chief Keef. If you ever look him up on Vine, there's this thing where I guess he's just doing his little ad-libs, and that's where he gets a little bang, bang. And some motherfucker put together the intro. I think it's the intro of Powerpuff Girls. It goes doom 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 doom, and they had that little beat in the background while he's saying it. While someone in the background says, "Recently in Chicago," and it has fucking a Chief Keef imitator saying, "Bang bang 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 bang," because that's how real it is in these streets.
It's real in these motherfucking streets, though.
These hoes, they really
real. We did have a former dedication to bring up once again, and that was Amanda Bynes. And
I'm crazy to crazy.
Skips, if you could inform the people out here, what is going on with Amanda Bynes? My booth.
Well, she's crazy, but nobody knows what's wrong with her. So she's been placed on psychiatric hold at a hospital. She's 28. She flew from New York to Los Angeles and was admitted to a Pasadena hospital shortly after arriving. The doctors placed her on a 5150 psychiatric hold where she will be held for 72 hours. The development comes after Bynes accused her father of sexual abuse via Twitter Friday morning. After a Twitter rant that accused him of verbal and physical abuse, Bynes recanted. She said, "My dad never did any of those things to me."
Now, real quick, before we go there, I have the list of everything that she said. Let me read real quick everything she said before you get to that
everything
line
she
that
said,
you're about to do.
She said,
that's the
dogs,
important line.
Everything okay. She said.
Amanda Bynes went on a Twitter rant and says, "I need to tell the truth about my dad. My dad was verbally and physically abusive to me as a child, so let me live my own life free of unhappiness and misery. I will not be manipulated or brainwashed by anyone anymore. I cannot hear the sound of his incestual charged voice ever again, and I'm just being honest. So today I am meeting with a lawyer to get a restraining order against my dad. Him embarrasses me to no end. My mom knows that my father's literally and physically incestual towards his own daughter, and the fact that she never called the police on saying or doing something inappropriate around me so I could get him arrested and put him in jail for the rest of his perverted life. So let me live my own life free." He says something else. Okay, yeah. And then so all that went on, and this was over the course of like an hour. And then she later backtracked, and she said, "My dad never did any of those things. The microchip in my brain made me say those things, but he's the one that ordered them to microchip me." Now
her family's picked sides. Her brother and sister have picked sides, saying there's no way that her dad could have done this. Her mother's, you know, obviously saying, she said, "I'm heartbroken today for my husband of 47 years. Rick has been the best father and husband a family can ask for. He has never abused Amanda or our other children physically or sexually. These accusations are absolutely horrible and could not be further from the truth. These allegations stem from Amanda's mental state at the moment. They have no basis in reality. It saddens me beyond belief that my husband's character could be slandered in such a way." And then her brother and sister, Tommy Bynes and Jillian O'Keefe, also issued a statement through Armanac or whatever, telling TMZ, "We are disturbed beyond words that Amanda would come up with such a fabrication as a way to avoid getting much needed help or treatment. We are pained by Amanda's behavior, but we absolutely give our full unconditional love and support to our wonderful parents." And so basically everyone's saying there's no way that he could have done this. So I don't know what's going on
now.
I don't know if she's on drugs or what is going on.
That explains a lot, though.
It's time for Arizona Verse, who thinks everything's a goddamn conspiracy,
yeah,
to bring up one of my favorite conspiracy websites, Vigilant Citizen, who had a lot to say about Amanda Bynes over her career. And of course, they had something to say about this as well. The article goes, and this guy, yeah, doesn't have his name on there, but whatever. It says, "In my previous articles about Amanda Bynes, I have described how she is a clear product of mind control." Now, he says, "In the past few days, Bynes has been displaying erratic behavior that is typical of an MK Ultra meltdown. Here's a disturbing video of her infamous shoplifting incident." Now, on October 10th, Bynes apparently had a meltdown, a rare moment of clarity, maybe, as she posted the truth in her words about her father and her own condition. Incidentally, the things she tweeted all describe symptoms of an MK slave, sexual abuse at a young age by a father who turned into a handler, being brainwashed, and a microchip in her brain telling her what to do. Most of these tweets got deleted, but plenty of sources captured them. And then that's where I got, you know, all those tweets from. Now, it's also funny because it says the events
following these tweets could only happen to an industry MK slave. A few hours after the tweets, no other than Sam Lutfi, L-U-T-F-I, comes out of the woodwork to take charge of Bynes. Latouf is also Britney Spears' controversial ex-manager and ex-handler who was around her during her 2008 meltdown. That's interesting. Both of these girls grew up through Disney and had a meltdown, and just so happened this guy is around there to save the day. That's interesting. Now, he took charge of Bynes and flew her from New York to Los Angeles. Why? Because her MK facility is located there, maybe. And then the dude tweeted afterwards, he says, thanks Richard, at Famous Richard and at Perez Hilton. She's in good hands now. Many thanks to all those that helped along the way. And it's funny, because yeah, now she's in doctor's care for the next 72 hours, but they do have the legal right to extend it to 14 days. Though, did her microchip go bad and now we got to reprogram that bitch before we can put her back out?
It has to be something, because she's been going through this for a while now.
What do you think, Bobo?
There's been a lot of malfunction in that and that hardcore wiring. And if we can recall back to when, and all these bitches have had breakdowns, from Mariah to Britney's head shavings.
Hilary Duff is the only one that hasn't.
Oh my God, have you seen her? She's so fucking beautiful right now.
I'll get her pregnant over and over again.
But back to, but Britney though, when she kind of came back in, before she came back with the Electric Circus thing, or not Electric Circus, Black Circus, something like that. Her last record where she hooked up with Timbaland. She came back fucking reprogrammed. Like, so much of her seemed so fucking robotic. Like, they had her, was it American Idol or one of the things? But she was so I want to see if we see this.
Was it The Voice? What was she on? Or
no.
Was it
definitely not The Voice. That's Christina.
The X Factor.
It was The X Factor.
Yes.
She was, this bitch, she's so puppeted. It's ridiculous. And
I remember seeing it for the first time with her on it. I was like, oh, she's back, you know, out. And, oh, okay, yeah. And so I remember watching the show and looking in her eyes and looking like, holy shit, she has no fucking soul in her eyes.
There's no soul, exactly. So what we're gonna see, most definitely, well, after this whole rewiring, if Amanda Bynes makes a big comeback and she's in the public eye, then that lets us know she's definitely part of the
And that whole thing. Disney shit also kind of segues real good into this. Are you guys familiar with the 27 Club?
I only want to join it. Seriously, these cigarettes don't kill me fast enough, and I got just a little over 365 days to be able to do it. Because apparently, once you're 27, you still have 365 days.
Yes.
Do you want to?
I don't know where I have Mexican music playing in my background, but yeah,
that shit better not be me.
Very confused right now, but whatever.
Okay. No, it ain't me.
The 27 Club, those who don't know, it's also known as Forever 27. It's the name given to a group of highly influential stars who died at the young age of 27. Although there are dozens of artists in the 27 Club, the most notable are Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, and Kurt Cobain. And also, let's not forget, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo, now, was Pac 33 when he died, or was he 27? Wasn't he?
No, Pac was, I think Pac was even younger than that.
No, I thought he was part of the 27 Club. And what really fucked me up is when I went to go look it up, his name wasn't on there. So he better not be 27, because that would have pissed me off. But I thought he was.
Let me see. No, he died at the age of 25.
Oh, yeah.
And Notorious, I think, was about the same. So Biggie was 24.
Yeah.
Now,
Damn.
Now it says most of the members of this club led somewhat troubled lives, and the causes of their deaths were surrounded by a shroud of mystery. Indeed, investigating the circumstances surrounding the deaths of Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, and Kurt Cobain quickly led to unanswered questions and strange abnormalities. No autopsies, no definitive cases of death, vague police reports seem to be the norm in these high-profile cases. In short, we can't find in these untimely deaths everything required to generate alternative theories involving murder. Now, I bring up the 27 Club just because of also, you know, the MK Ultra shit, and just like there's a lot of weird things that go on in the entertainment world. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that we live in a world so cynical that you have to look on the dark side of certain things. And I do, like you said earlier, Papo, you know, you turn 27, you got 365 days. And I am concerned because Kendrick Lamar, who's a beautiful soul, beautiful artist, mm-hmm. who puts out beautiful music, has a
beautiful song out right now, who its driving point of the song is I love myself. How fucking positive is that? And how much of that positivity do you hear on the radio on a consistent basis? Not a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that Kendrick, you know, continues to put out this positive music for a very long time. And I don't want to see anything happen to him, but bullshit like this makes me worry.
And it's going to be one of those things where we'll see. We'll see. Because he's definitely, he's causing waves. But really, too, it's, and I think all these people at some point, because, you know, the machine, the man has been running for so fucking long. All these people had to fight those very same demons and the messages that they carry across. So him, he speaks to the magnitudes and to the masses, I mean, with his messages. And obviously, especially with what was his single, first single off his major label debut, Swimming Pools, like... What makes him so genius is, especially in that song, is the fact that the chorus, which is your clubby, you know what I'm saying, this guitar nigga chorus, but yeah. In the verses, he's talking about how he's going through this spiral, through this tunnel, through this fucked up, you know, ride from being sober to being lost and just, you know, getting lost in it. And once again, bringing yourself to that, this get turnt chorus, which is so smart, and it gets lost. It's an art. He is an artist.
Yeah.
And... yeah, it'd just be interesting to see. I mean, this could just be all, you know, just be our little, our craziness just getting the best of us, because you never know who's going to be part of it. What?
What? And I think Skip's had one more before we get out of here.
One more.
We're done?
One more. Close to it. Did you hear about the Alabama, if I could talk, Alabama church pastor that said that he was HIV positive?
Whoa.
Actually, he has full-blown AIDS.
Whoa.
I don't know why it says HIV positive. But anyways, why it's so controversial is because on Sunday, September 14th, Reverend Juan McFarland stood behind his pulpit.
Wait, is his name Juan?
Juan. To deliver the sermon. Rather than offering the members of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, a word for the Lord, the minister dropped one hell of a bombshell. According to numerous accounts from Shiloh members in attendance that day, Pastor McFarland told his longtime church family that he had full-blown AIDS. As if that news wasn't shocking enough, McFarland, who's served as Shiloh's pastor for more than 20 years and allegedly learned of his HIV diagnosis in 2003, also admitted to having numerous sexual encounters with women, some of whom were members of his own church.
Whoa.
All the while knowing he was infected with HIV.
Makes love to his wife and gets up, skeet, 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 skeet. Sorry about that. So skeet, skeet, skeet.
What?
Skeet, skeet, skeet. You can't say they said it on the radio. Skeet, 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 skeet. Nah, you can't say skeet on the radio. I'm just gonna start saying that on the show. Come on, steak, man. What's fucking if you can say skeet on the radio? I can't. Nobody. You know what's so dope about skeet? White people don't know what it means yet. When they figure it out, they're gonna be like, my God, what have we done? Hey.
So, what prompted the longtime pastor's sudden confession? Well, according to those who heard Pastor McFarland's confessional sermon series, the preacher implied that it was God who told him it was time to confess his sins to the church. So, I think that's fucked up.
What
I think that's
is up
fucked up
with pastors.
I don't. It's using their power in not a very good way.
I think it comes down to, once again, it's sexual repression. Like, you can't hold that shit back. Like, we're sexual creatures. That's why I recommend all men take this oath right now and jerk off once a day.
At least.
You'll get through life a whole lot easier if you jerk off once a day. Like, you need to get them rocks off, yo. And, yeah, so he up there in the pulpit, and he like, hey, Sister Martha.
Yeah.
Lend that heinous venom spit.
Oh, shit, is that your pumpkin now pie, they got, Mrs. Martha?
Now they got the Ebola, and they are.
I'm like, oh. Yo, and I heard the most fucked up or wonderful joke ever about that Ebola shit. I forgot dude's name, so all credit to you, whoever said it on Twitter and got in all that trouble for it. But he was like, all of y'all are worried about this virus from Africa, but it only has 2 years left in office.
Bang, bang.
Yo, my, you know what? My favorite one was saying, you know, all y'all niggas worried about this Ebola coming from Africa, but y'all motherfuckers still won't put a condom on.
Yes. Oh, like, that's so true.
But back to who the fuck were we talking about?
Pastor McFarland.
Oh, and I want to let it go because, you know, the Bible thumping me will not stand for my people being persecuted in such ways. But obviously, it does, you know, it causes a crazy perversion. And not to even give any excuse to fucking the nasty ass goddamn pedophile priest. But, you know, that exactly all this repression, them having to take an oath, them not able to take a wife, and all they're around is these goddamn altar boys. I'm going to tell you, as much as I hate vegetables, celery going to look hella fucking delicious if I had nothing to eat at all, I would imagine. I mean, I want that celery with some peanut butter, but if you want a straight raw, you must be hungry.
Oh, right.
Very hungry. But goddamn. Yeah, so speaking of the Ebola thing, real fast, just to take it back to another new nastiness, that dude fucking finally died.
Yeah.
Last week.
Which I'm not surprised about. I don't know why it was such a big deal, because...
Yeah, because once you get Ebola, chances are you are going to die. It's not that easy to get, but once you get it, chances are you're going to die. So when the nigga died, I was like, okay.
Oh, one thing I kind of wanted to bring up really fast, too, because I started laughing, because I wouldn't call him a friend. I wouldn't call him a homie. And I almost wouldn't call him a coworker, because I barely see the motherfucker. But he had caught something, right? And I started laughing because I started making fun of him, saying about now that he's HIV positive, which is not what he has, but now that he has AIDS, he's gonna have to go to AA meetings and he can only fuck bitches that have AIDS. But he had actually, like, at the same time, same token, told me that he saw some really fine bitches at the clinic when he had to get a, you know, shot to his dick. Oh. And I was thinking to myself, like, wouldn't that make some money? We need to make an app for all the disease infested whores. Call it Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, get them all connected on this app. Make them pay a fee, whatever, however it is that we gonna get it with the ads. And let's make some money, y'all. I need someone who can fucking make some apps for me. I got the ideas.
Y'all want to make an app called Blatsy? And so if you're a black person, it's the taxi cabs that will pick you up. Shouts out to Childish.
Yo, shouts out to the app that tells white folks whether it's a dangerous neighborhood or not.
Oh, yeah.
And real quick, speaking of my favorite fucking artist, real quick, I do have to bring up Childish Gambino's a goddamn genius, yo. I finally got to sit back, listen to Stone Mountain Kauai.
Only two good tracks.
Stone Mountain, I got to listen to it a couple more times. I don't know if I like it yet. But I will say that it is straight Atlanta rap. Like, that was the point of Stone Mountain, was that was him with his black card, and that was him getting his Atlanta rap on, and he did that just well. I'm just not a fan of Atlanta rap.
I started hating right away when he had to give, he's like, you know, the little shout out portion of that record, and he's like, you give a shout out to Drama. Like, motherfucker, shout out, he ain't doing you no favors, nigga, you paying him. Fuck.
Yo,
a
it
shout
is
out.
Funny, because, like, listening to Drama has energy, but Drama ain't got the same energy he normally does. So yeah, Drama got paid, because he's not like, oh yeah, great, I'm doing this Childish mixtape.
My people, like, this is store bought. Enjoy.
And then Childish dropped Kauai, which is a city or whatever, land, island, whatever,
an
in
island.
Hawaii.
It's up the
yes,
mainland.
Island. There we go. And that joint, since I got the Google Play on deck, I got to check that joint out. And that joint is phenomenal. It's real poppy, R&B-ish or whatever. It's very Hawaii, though. And Jaden Smith does come in on the joint, and he plays the story of
narrator.
The boy. And it's dope because, like, Childish starts saying a poem, and then his voice starts fading out, and then Jaden's comes in. And, like, Childish just said in an interview with Peter Rosenberg, it kind of only made sense to have Jaden be the boy, because Jaden kind of captures that character of who the boy was, and because the internet, and those who don't know, the boy was basically this kid who grew up, he was a black kid that grew up wealthy, and it was about how his life still wasn't that great. And it's that whole new black thing of that I grew up as a black person, not in the hood, but I still face the consequences and challenges that other black people face or whatever. And
boo-hoo,
so
minorities.
What's up?
I said boo-hoo, minorities.
Boo-hoo. So though, apparently Childish Gambino is Jaden Smith's favorite rapper. Apparently Seven, who's Erykah Badu and Andre 3000's son, that's Childish is his favorite rapper. And then also apparently Michaela or whatever, what's the first daughter? What's her name?
Oh, Malia.
Yeah, whatever her name is, she apparently fucks with Childish Gambino, too. She went to one of his concerts to check out him and Chance. And so it's a weird movement going on in hip-hop right now, this whole new black shit. And this new black shit also kind of segues into, I think it's that time, Popo.
Is it?
It's time for...
Yo, I don't know if I'm ready, but... Dedication. Oh, drip.
And my first dedication, or actually, let me not say my first, my only dedication is actually also a member of the new black generation. And shouts out to this person, because my first dedication, ladies and gentlemen, goes to the lovely Raven Simone. Who responded to the Oprah interview backlash. She went on Oprah's show called Where Are They Now? And she said that she doesn't like being labeled, whether it's her race or her sexuality. She says, I don't want to be labeled gay. I want to be labeled as a human who loves humans. She also said that I'm not African American. I'm simply American. She was like, I can't trace back to what country my heritage comes from, but I know I'm from Louisiana, so I consider myself to be American. And she got a lot of backlash because she says that, yes, she does have darker skin and she has a nice, interesting grade of hair, but she connects with Caucasians, Asians, and blacks and Indians, and she connects with all cultures. But it's funny because, of course, Black Twitter had to hop they ignorant asses in, and they had to come back at Raven Simone. And at Rain of April says, but Raven is still black, new black to be sure, based on her comments, but black nonetheless. This colorless stuff is hot, steamy crap. At _ holy smoke says, Raven Simone has been the face of black families all her life, and now she don't want to be labeled. Sounds real hood radish. Yeah. At Chronic Brat Face says, I always love Raven Simone, but when she speaks on situations like sexuality and race, she comes off very ignorant. Somebody else, I don't know who this is, but she says, for once, I want these new blats to keep it funky. Just say, I'm too rich to be bothered but being saddled with blackness.
Don't make me snap my fingers.
Finally, at Boogie Black Girl said, Raven Simone's new show should be called I'm Not Black But I Play One on TV, making millions doing it too. Snap your fingers in a Z.
I think all those comments were ignorant.
Ignorant as fuck. And me being black, I could say that to these black sisters who chimed in with this. That was some dumb shit. I love the part from fucking Bill Cosby when the son goes on the rant and then he's like,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. There's no wonder you get D's and everything.
That's what these girls just did.
Yeah.
I love that. I love this new black thing, and I be proud of being black, be proud of being everything that you are. But at the end of the day, you're American, you're human, you're at the end of the day, we're all the same fucking thing.
And that's what
all these labels is to make us fight with each other.
Yeah. And she's trying to make it more open minded, and they're trying to make her like, no, you only gotta think this one way.
You're in this box. Get back in that box.
This box, yeah. No.
And I'm sorry. My buddy, a real close homie of mine, actually has a fucking big crush on Raven Simone. And I think this is the same kind of motherfucker that thinks Oprah's hot. So I don't trust his judgment. But every time I think of Raven Simone, and I guess imagine now that we know she's a dyke, maybe she may be appealing to me one of these days. She still has the whole black thing to get over. But one thing that really gets me on her is the fact that did you ever watch That's So Raven?
No.
She did this little look thing, because I guess apparently in the show she was able to see into the future, or she has some kind of fucking special power where she'd see something, and she just has this little head shake thing that just, it's as if someone nutted in her eye and she's just trying to snap back into reality, thinking, this nigga really just do that? It's that kind of look. And so every time I think of her, I think of that fucking look, and it makes me want to Ray Rice the bitch. I'm sorry.
And I got a picture of Raven Simone and her girlfriend up. Her girlfriend's cute, though. I'd watch a sex tape with them.
I bet you would. I don't think you're quite picky when it comes to that.
Raven has some cute glasses. There's one thing I love. Is just the dorkiness, you know what I'm saying? And I was gonna piggyback off of the make my dedication, this girl who goes by the name of Connie Kuhn, just for the sake of blackness.
Yeah,
that's her last name, but we won't worry about her. She's recently in that Gone Girl movie. That's what made her relevant. But right now in the realm of box office, Gone Girl, which is that fucking Ben Affleck flick.
Affleck, yeah.
The movie's been out for a good little minute. Yeah, he is. I don't know what his relevance is in that, but I ain't fucking with him. He's just a side nigga. It's all right. He don't matter. But battling in the box office right now is the movie Dracula, which I don't know shit about. I didn't even know it was coming out or know if there's any hype to it or not. I just know that it just came out and still Gone Girl's beating it. But in the vein of relevance, the movie Dracula, there, who my dedication today is Sarah Gadon or Gaydon, Sarah, last name Gadon. And me and this bitch kind of, you know, show us. We're the same age. Of course, she has to be with Ita. She's a Canadian.
Of course.
And I have this thing about just Canadian girls. Just they so nice. They go. Oh. They'll take a dick right to the face and then tell me, are you? You know, she'll just take it with a smile. And worry about how my dick feels and not the big old red lash across her face. But
I'm just worried about your dick right now, Mama. Yeah,
that's because it's the king dick, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, she's in that movie. Apparently she was in Spider-Man 2. I don't fucking remember her. She was a very young career right now, but would eat that porcelain, yo. I mean, what better sacrifice for me to give to the gods? Because we didn't even pay proper tribute to, you know what I'm saying, to our Lord and Savior, to giving them this, you know, these bad batches of bitches.
To put on the dedication wall and may they live forever.
Forever 27.
Yips herself has also been sacrificed by me.
I have.
Yeah.
You live in infamy.
And I just that keep adding more penis to your wall, too. Sorry, but can't help it.
Wait. You're adding more penis to the dedication wall as I open up this Fiber One chocolate
that looks like
caramel
a penis.
Nut bar. The
you might want to put that away.
In your mouth. Put that nutty chocolate in your mouth and you enjoy.
Gay.
Gay. That shit gay, kid. That shit gay. Gay.
So my dedication.
Wait.
So
yummy. I'm guessing we're gonna go swing and dick, but for our listeners who maybe new, if you do go to our dedication, some of these ladies, I don't know what the percentile rate is.
Some of them, yeah. There's quite a few.
Some of them have swinging dicks. I bet you cannot tell which ones, but y'all should go to the website ibhf.com.
Like I always say, if you were to get drunk,
chocolate on your,
if you were to get drunk and take one of these chicks home,
could that be happening?
And she pulled that thing out. You have a life decision to make.
Okay, so what would you guys decide?
What?
If you took a chick home and she had a penis.
I'm not going to suck on it, I'll tell you. Will I put up with it? Well, that remains to be seen, but I am not putting that shit anywhere near me. If we have to sword fight for a second, so be it.
I'm just saying, my sword fight, I'm not putting my mouth on it.
Fuck
you
it.
Guys are a hot mess.
Hey, me.
I think you guys would be all in. Yeah, let's do this. Whatever. Who cares?
We'll see. If it's a Wadita, who knows? The troubles my soul and heart will have to intertake. That is my kryptonite, y'all. I'm Superman, and that's my kryptonite. I'm sorry. But keep going. Who's your dedication?
Who's your dedication?
My dedication is somebody I've been watching for a long time on Sons of Anarchy. Love him. Charlie Hunnam. So they're on their final and last season of Sons of Anarchy, which I'm really sad about. But Charlie Hunnam, he's been around doing stuff for a long time. Not really well known except for the Sons of Anarchy. And I'm really upset because he was supposed to be Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey and he pulled out.
Is
because
this the guy off of,
I think he doesn't want all that attention. I don't think that's what he's in this business for. So he pulled out and they put in some ugly, I don't like him, Jamie. It's going to be really disappointing to watch that show now or the movie. But yeah, Charlie Hunnam, love him. He's from England or something too, so he has like a British accent and you can't even tell. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Love.
And can you still see Popo?
I can't see anybody.
Yeah, because we dropped off, but we're still recording in the background right now, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we do it live over at this motherfucker. I'm back, yo.
Okay.
Popo, I see you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. We was just doing our thing. Don't worry, I'll edit out all the rest of the fucked up shit. But yeah. Oh, so did you hear her dedication?
Is this the dude that's off of motherfucking 50 Shades?
No, he's not anymore. I guess you didn't hear that part. Yeah, so he was supposed to be 50 Shades of Grey. He was supposed to be Christian Grey. And 3 weeks before, or 3 weeks before they started shooting, he dropped out. He said it was his busy schedule, but I think he was more nervous of like what people think Christian Grey should be. And I don't think he's ready for that yet because he's not like well known.
That's a big hurdle. And this nigga has to be able to pack a Magnum. And it's
I'm telling you.
Did you ever read the book?
It's so disappointing. I'm so mad that he's not going to be Christian Grey.
He's a handsome man. You know, I'm confident enough in my sexuality. Yeah, he's handsome.
Can I get two passes?
Wait, look at this one. Hold up. I'm going to screen share. I bet this is the one the ladies go wild over. Hold up.
He did a lot of pictures for the, yes.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That nigga can pass as Thor. You know what I mean?
He could, but I don't think he's not quite big enough, though. Like, he's not like a big guy. So I don't know if he could do Thor, but he could definitely do Christian Grey naked. So, anyways.
See, that's a plan B. You see how we go full circle? It's that nigga. I'm watching you.
He's my other pass. It's okay.
Oh, my God. You might as well have a. It sounds like you have a whole fucking Pokemon deck of.
I know you got a Pokemon deck of free passes. Wow, I'm going to play this card right now.
It's only two. It's okay. The Weeknd and Charlie Hunnam.
Bow.
Just saying. He's in a relationship anyway, so I don't think he would give it up.
Can kick your free pass his ass.
Whatever. I don't even want to talk about that.
We don't need to start any more controversy. we're at the end of our parade, and it's always a motherfucking pleasure. It's always fun. We take too goddamn long to reconnect with one another, even though we've been getting a little bit better on it.
I know we haven't seen you in a long time either. I'm just saying.
Yeah, especially with the camera going out right now. Just
no, like, you haven't been over in a long time.
Oh, it's because that nigga live in fucking Southern California. That's how far that nigga live.
Damn, here. It's on the same road going to... Oh.
Shouts out to Blitz.
I like that.
Shouts out
like
to Blitz, too, because that nigga live up the street from you, and both of y'all niggas live in South Cali. I live in West New Mexico compared to y'all niggas.
Pretty fucking much. You know what, though? I want to quit my other job, yo. It's going to happen. I'm just going to just not
finish
up when
it's... When are you going to quit that job?
Whenever I can get out of my shit. I'm probably thinking maybe January, after January. Be safe after February. After February. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to definitely kidnap a few people from this concentration camp that they call a domestic violence shelter. I'm going to take me at least two bunnies. And then once I do that, then I'll have to just jam out. But then I'll have more free time, and we'll have to do something. And, yeah. Mm. Yeah. But
don't forget, next Saturday, Comerica, October 18th, downtown.
Oh, the hip hop festival.
Phoenix Hip Hop Festival. Arizona Verse will be in the building with the motherfucking camcorder. I'm filming shit. So if you want to see your boy, y'all ain't got shit going on October 18th, come fuck with your boy. I think tickets are $15, $20 at the door. But we're going to show that support. Arizona, yo, that's how I do it over here, Young Verse.
I'm gonna try to come in with the business card and be like, nigga, let me in for free. Like, I'm part of the press. It's fine. I don't know. I think there has to be a way we can try to pawn off a press pass. $15 ain't shit, but I'd rather spend that on Unmentionables.
Free 99? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. I want that free 99 with the 99 discount. I want the 99 taken out the way, too.
Because I can't function in society.
Yo, do you think motherfuckers gonna be blazing in that bitch?
I hope. If not, I know we blazing in the car before we go in. I know we blazing somehow, some way.
Wait, so Skips, are you going then?
No, because I'm
working.
Well, because I wanted to, but yeah, since like the last show we went to, he was filming and stuff, and I was kind of hanging out by myself. So I was like, well, instead of, I don't really want to be like the downer, be like, oh my God, you need to pay attention to me. I would never do that.
You know what should happen? What should happen, Skips, is you should handle the camera while he plays his anchor role, you know?
That's what he likes to do. He likes to use the camera.
He wants to get off first person with it.
Yeah, okay. I do like go first person.
He does.
Well, the reason I was going to ask too, because I'm like, if you're going to take a bunny, then I want to take a bunny. But no, okay.
No, I'm going to stay home with the kids, because otherwise it runs really late too. I think it goes till what, like 2 or something?
It's supposed to be from 2 to midnight. I don't plan on being there the whole time. But yeah, it's 2 to midnight because it's a like 60, 70 acts.
Two hours
stages.
Run so heavy in a hip hop show. So please get rest, be off your feet, because we're going to be on it, I'm sure.
No, you guys have fun. I'm going to hear all about it, but I'll stay home with the kids.
So yeah, we'll definitely be talking about it on next week's episode. And also,
what time
is
it starting?
What's up?
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
And also next week, we're going to have another special guest. I am bringing on my soon-to-be brother-in-law.
You called him a stepbrother earlier.
I know, yeah. I don't know the difference between stepbrothers and brother-in-law. So I was like,
we got baby daddy and baby daddy brothers. I ain't never heard about
I'm
no
from
steps,
the hood. Niggas in the hood don't get married, so I'm still not used to in-laws versus steps. I get them all mixed up all the time. It's like your parents is my
in-laws. Yeah.
Okay, that's
not my baby, not my baby, not my family.
Yeah, that's them. Mom
and
pop.
It's a crazy transition.
But fucking, what were we talking about?
Afterwards, so we have brother-in-law coming in.
Oh yeah, so I'm bringing bringing him on. And yeah, this nigga is he's dope. He's an amazing person because he's been like all over the motherfucking world. His dad was the ambassador to Jamaica from Canada. So like his dad lives out in Jamaica.
Is this a brother?
What's up?
Is this a brother?
No, he's white. He's a white dude from Canada, and his dad was the Canadian.
Get this. So Arizona Verse is with a white chick from, I bordered Canada. That's where I grew up. His sister's with a dude from Canada.
That's why you're so sweet.
Yeah. So,
we look real funny out together.
Me and my sister both sold out to the white population, and we got some Canadian white people. We didn't go American. We went Canadian. We might as well
I'm
be
American.
Canadian.
No.
You might as well be a Canadian.
My little sister was born in Canada. That's how close we were. But
no, your personality is more Canadian than American. So.
How do you know? Have you been to Canada?
I said so.
I watched Degrassi. I know what a Canadian is like. My little dedication, she hailed from Ontario.
Ow.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so he's going to be on next week. And he also, he's been to the jungles of South America and done ayahuasca as well. And me and him was chopping it up, talking about going out there next June or so to do the ayahuasca trip. And actually, I'm doing a shout out right now because Papa, I told you about it. I want you to come out. And actually, I was going to holler at Trav to see if we can get Trav to come out. But Trav is going to Egypt next summer.
Wow.
So, Trav, make sure you bring your motherfucking camcorder. I got to see all that shit. We going to have a camcorder, hopefully. I'm not going to disrespect the ayahuasca session, but I do want to film, like, being out there in the jungle and all that shit. So, we haven't put the signature to the paper, but this is what we're working on. Trying to head out to South America and see what it do, yo.
And I'm the reason why. Yes. And I'm very dedicated to this because I pray that after between February and May, I'm going to get out of my hole, son. This little death snowball, bitch. I'm going to outrun it and juke it and have some dough. And I want, oh God, I've been a broke bean for so long. I can't wait to get out the fucking country. Mm. Yeah. But I would love to have Trav though. Motherfucker. I thought you were going to say he's going to be on a show pretty soon, but I mean, we need to get him on board too.
We do got
to
bring Trav back on sometimes.
Keep the rotation going.
We forgot to bring the Soy Sauce Boss on. Remember, we talked to him and we were talking.
I still got hard feelings over it, so you know.
I had completely forgot because I didn't put that shit in Google Calendar and I smoke a lot. So,
bam, bang, bang.
Bang, bang. So, on that note, once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles you want to hear us talk about, hit us up over there. You can also find us on the web at the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add ibhmpodcast in an appropriate spot. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Thumbs up, 5-star ratings, all that shit. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. If you don't feel like doing any of that, head over to the website, ibhmpodcast.com, to find all of our fucking links there. We do this, y'all. And once again, we love the fans. We love y'all for chiming in and listening to our dumbasses just rant about nothing all goddamn day, because that's what the fuck we do.
That's what we do. And, you know, and if you don't like that, honestly, I want to go tell you to go fuck yourself. But if you really don't like this, there's a reason for
know,
this.
Considering I'm Black and he's Mexican, and if you didn't like this podcast, what might they be, Papo?
Motherfucker, you a goddamn closet queer Republican side ass nigga, leasing the vehicle under your mama's name, believing in women's lib, but still fucking keep a bitch shackled up in the goddamn bedroom. Ass racist. Bitch, you is racist. Bitch, you racist.
Until next time.
Whoa. Let's do that again.
I'm going after that plan B, nigga. You think I'm playing, yo? Fuck that nigga up.
You guys are a hot mess. I did not know you were coming up with that.
Oh, you got set up. I told
Papa. I was like, wait, what?
This is a word. This is a world premiere. This is a world premiere.
I've been through a whole lot. Trial, tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie. Pray that the holy water don't go dry, As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna tell me. But an amigo never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they found me. And I love myself.
The world is a ghetto, big guns and dick is
high. I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want, I don't mind.
I love myself.
gon' do? Lift up your head and keep moving. But let the paranoia haunt you. Peace to fashion police, I wear my heart on my sleeve, let the runway start. You know the miserable, do love company. What do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confidence, everybody lack confidence. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this,
I love myself. The world is a ghetto, big guns and dinky signs. I love myself.
Police and a rock on the corner and a line full of fiend and a bottle full of lean and a motto on a scheme, yeah. These days of frustration, keep y'all on tuck in rotation. I duck these cold faces, post up, he 5-4 for basis. Dreams are reality's peace. Blow steam in the face of the beast. The sky can fall down, the wind can cry down. The strong in me, I still smile.
I love myself. The world is a ghetto, big guns and dicky signs. I love myself.
Till the well runs dry out.